Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 168 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Daniel, Lesson 11. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Now, in the book of Daniel here, as I'm wanting us to see here, and I'm going to move quickly. Daniel, a man who prayed. Now this, if you learn anything out of the book of Daniel, what makes the book of Daniel rock and roll is Daniel's prayer. It's what makes it run. It is all after the fact of prayer that the book of Daniel happens. And so we see here in Daniel 6:10, Daniel always prayed to God three times every day. He bowed down on his knees to pray and praise God. Three times a day he did that. Sometimes up to five times. Now in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar goes from prideful. We see in chapter 4 is where we're at today. We covered two-thirds of it last week. We'll try our best to finish it today. But we see that Nebuchadnezzar goes from prideful to grateful. And in verses 1 through 3, we start seeing his conversion. I have taught you that in chapter 4, this is Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. He speaks it out to the whole nation. He writes chapter 4, actually. And so verses 1 through 3, he begins his what we call his personal testimony. And in Daniel 4, 1 through 16, as we read last week, we see that that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. And we read through the dream comment a little bit last week. We'll have more commentary this week. And so Daniel chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 are about this dream about a tree that Nebuchadnezzar has. The tree is cut down. It has a brass band around it. And we see that he moves from vanity to insanity. Now, I want us to try to not yield to our preconceived notions or even what we think about the word vanity or the word insanity. I want to broaden your understanding of what insanity is. We all have our own ideas. Because of my life, I've spent a lot of times in mental hospitals. I've never been inducted personally myself yet, but I have spent a lot of time there and have understood, and I was always confused about the terminology of insanity. All of a sudden, when you give a term that somebody's insane, and I'm not saying all insanity falls under Nebuchadnezzar either, but all of a sudden, when you hear the word insane, the person's put into a category, and you're just written off. You're just saying, okay, here they are there. And I want to submit to you, if you want to do that, that's fine. It's just more of us than you thought. Okay? The room's going to be full of people that look just like you. Now, as we move forward, the dream here had a purpose. And so we're looking for the purpose of the dream. We begin to shudder just a little bit because God used Nebuchadnezzar. His reward of disobedience was insanity. And so that should make us shake just a little bit. And you can say, well, do you cross a point of being insane? No. It's a path that we go down of insanity. You don't arrive at insanity. Insanity has no end destination. Insanity is a path that we walk upon that we have entered because we have wrong thinking. We have bad thinking. And so it starts us on a path that can start off somewhat harmless but end up very destructive. So there's a purpose here of this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and we did that verses 1 through 16 this week. I want to look at 17. This matter is the decree of the watchers, we covered that last week, and the demand of the word of the holy ones to the intent, now watch this, or in order that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will, and setteth up it over the basis of men. Now, here it's kind of hard to wrap your brain around that this was, let me put it in these terms, not disrespectful, but that this was God's problem. God's problem here is to the intent, or that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Like, why should, whether we believe it or not, God still is, right? But for some reason, it's important to God that men agree with that truth. And it's not because of God's ego. It's because God has created us in His image to rule and reign over this earth, and He wants us to work with Him. You see, we don't pray unto God to get Him prepared to do our will. We pray to God so that we might catch on to what is His will. Can somebody hear me? I'm not sure what I just said, but it's the truth. Now, so keep this in mind as we're moving. You see, Daniel prayed. His prayer life was to catch on to what God was doing. Daniel didn't come up with the interpretation of the dream because he was doing it for himself. He was trying to key into what God was saying. And a lot of the time, and I'm going to tell you something. As we move forward here, there is something to be considered when we're finding out the will of God. First thing is, the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. That must be an absolute. As an example, today the earth is where it is. We got turmoil and we got all this stuff. But let me tell you something. God rules over all of it.
Right.
Now, you can say, so therefore you cannot entertain the idea that this thing might get messed up. Come on. Can you hear what I'm saying? Come on. Because if you entertain that, you don't believe God rules. That's just the way it is. So we're trying to shift from being persuaded that God's in charge to God's in charge. God rules. That's what he's saying here to Nebuchadnezzar. That was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. He didn't have his resolve in that God rules. Now, when you have that as a true resolve, most Christians live most of their life trying to prove that God rules. You don't end at the conclusion, you begin at the conclusion. That's what God was saying, so it's a big deal. And I'm going to show you why it's a big deal that you have a resolve that God rules.
Amen. Amen.
That's what makes this book an absolute.
That's right.
You can't make it an absolute until you are convinced and you confess God rules.
That's good.
God's not caught off guard. Am I worried about where we are? Not in the least. If God takes us over a cliff, guess what? Hang on. But God's the one that's doing it. For a reason. He has a purpose. So I want you to get with me here. God rules. Don't be at fear. God's big and God's God and God did all this stuff. God rules. Absolute. I don't care. Well, I do care. Doesn't make any difference who's in the White House. God still rules. Who's in the Senate? Who's in the House? God still rules. Do I think we need to work hard at doing what's right? The answer is yes. But God rules. So I do not despair, because I'm convinced God rules. In my life, I've been through a lot of experiences just as you have. A lot of pressures, a lot of disappointments, a lot of rejection, a lot of all these things. And I want to blame somebody, but ultimately I got to say God rules. And then I can believe God won't put any more on me than I can handle. Why? Because God rules.
Come on.
So the enemy is into deceiving. He's trying to convince you that you can't handle it. You got to look at him in the face and say, I can handle it. Amen. Because my God rules.
Come on. That's good.
He's trying to convince us that, the enemy's trying to convince us that God does not rule, that you're going to fail, that you can't do it. But how can you fail if God rules? Because he that is, come on, he that is
in
us
is greater than
he that is in the world. Is that true or not? You know why it's true? Because God rules.
That's right. Come on.
I'm trying to show you how the enemy is watering down that God rules. He's got us as believers even wondering, well, is he going to move? Is he going to do that? Is he going to do that? Hey, come on, God rules.
That's good. Come on.
Be at peace. Now, say, I got it.
I got it.
All right, we'll move on. Now, we go here in Daniel 4, 18 through 25. This is where the tree dream is interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar. I'll pick up this one verse here, verse 24. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon the Lord King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling will be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass, or 7 years, till thou know that the what? Ruleth in the until what?
The Most High.
Now I want to tell you something.
Kingdom of men.
You're gonna keep eating grass till you get it. Come on. Are you with me? Now there's different types of grass, but promise me, I don't like any of it. We are gonna keep eating grass till we get it.
Amen.
You see, faith operates out of that. God rules. What do you want to discuss? What do you want to debate? There's nothing to debate. My resolve is God rules.
Come on.
That's what he said here. Now, here comes Daniel gives the king a solution to his problem. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, that was in the dream. Thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. What does it say? There it is again, the son of a gun sticks. Listen, is God trying to make a point?
Yes.
He says a do rule, verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off thy sins by what? How's he supposed to break off his sins? How do we break? See, we have the righteousness of Christ today. So repentance brings forth. How do you get rid of your sins? Through righteousness. Righteousness, the righteous king is Christ. So we can actually go through the process of having sins broken off of us when we take it to the cross of Christ. Then that is an act of righteousness, and sins are broken off. Now, you don't have to wonder if they are or not. They are.
They are. That's right.
Why? Because God rules. If you do a Hebrew study here, when it says God rules, it means God made the rules.
Right.
You see, it's what it means. God made the rules. God rules. So, by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Where did that come? Isn't that interesting? And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of the tranquility. Now, I want us to see something. Breaking off thy sins by forgiveness, then we have what we call acts of repentance. By showing mercy to the poor. So it's one thing to repent, and there's a second thing. You see, repentance here had two phases. You have repentance, and then you have acts of repentance. You say, what's the poor got to do with it? It means your blame, pride, you don't see yourself as better than the poor, so you're going to go help the poor. It's an act of repentance. To repent without acts of repentance is dead repentance. I'm sorry.
Come on.
We're going through the first phase. We're not quite catching the second phase. Let's say you did somebody wrong. Let's say I borrowed your lawnmower. I tore up your lawnmower. I go to and say, I'm sorry. Act of repentance is, and you gave me a lawnmower that's 10 years old. Act of repentance is, I go buy you a new lawnmower and bring you a new lawnmower. That's an act of repentance, which secures my repentance. People today say we got sloppy grace. We ain't got sloppy grace. Grace is grace. We got sloppy repentance.
Oh, that's good.
That's what we got.
That's true.
It offends me when people say we got sloppy grace. No such thing in the book. No such a thing. But we do have incomplete repentance. So that equals acts of repentance. Now let's move on just a little more here. There is a divine connection between believing God rules and the fulfillment of what God says. Now I hope you can get that. I hope you get this. Did you get it? Now look right at, see the yellow right above that? Thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after thou hast, shalt know that the heavens do rule.
That's good.
Do you see how important it is to believe fully that God rules?
Yes.
Your faith comes out of that fundamental statement.
Very true. That's good.
God rules. Well, listen. His kingdom was not going to be sure. God gave him the kingdom, but it wasn't going to come into effect until he believed the second part. So therefore, I say there's a divine connection between believing God rules and the fulfillment of what God says. So continually, the enemy is trying to convince you that God doesn't rule. So we get in this debate with the Holy Ghost. Well, are you going to do it? Well, are you not? Well, are you going to do it or are you not? There's a problem if you ask that question.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't believe God rules.
That's good.
You're not there yet. Well, the only thing I can tell you, the first part's not going to happen until you do. So the attack upon God's church this day is the attack against God rules.
Amen.
That's the attack. Because everything else comes out of that as believers. We have that down in us. I can feel the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's carrying a paddle though. That when we get this down in us, listen, you should have a witness of what I'm telling you is the truth. You should feel better. You should feel at peace in here. Go ahead and believe it. Grab it. Repent and say, well, Alan, I was questioning, I guess, if he was going to rule in this or that.
Amen.
Right? I've heard one person say, well, Alan, I think it's the end of the world. Well, if it is, it's God's world is all I can tell you.
That's right.
That's all I can tell you. It's God's world. Now, let me move on. Say, Alan, I got it. There's a divine connection between believing that God rules and the fulfillment of what God says.
Amen. Amen.
Boy, I wish I could just put that down in the church of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what chapter 4 is about. God's proven a point. Nebuchadnezzar, you got a problem. You think you did it. You think you built all of that. The only thing he did was assembled what God made. He maybe brought the parts together and did something. But God rules in the affairs of men. All right, let's go on. The king's decision was in verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar in verses 28 and 30. Now, this was his humiliation or his last words, we call it. And all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking in the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty. Now listen. With the day we're living in, Facebook and everything, it's all about I.
Yeah.
I'm not against Facebook, but you can give the glory to God, right? Instagram. Everything we're doing about is about I. We are in a society that has legitimized I. It's okay to brag on yourself and do all these things. And if you want to do it, go ahead, but not in the kingdom of God. It's just not, the kingdom of God does not have Facebook about I. So, as you see his problem, you can say he had a problem, but the question is, can you see how we have a problem? We have an I problem. We have a my problem. And so as we see that, we understand we are now in conflict that God rules. It's a total conflict. You say, well, they did me wrong here. Well, I did this wrong. Well, you just don't know what they said, Alan. You just don't know what they said. I heard James Robinson say, and y'all heard me say it, said a person came up to him and said, well, they did it on purpose. He said, well, forgive them on purpose.
Come on.
The key is repentance, because God rules.
Yeah.
Now, we see that he had a huge my problem. Now, here was the king's discipline. This in verses 31 and 32. While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice from heaven, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. Now, we went over sovereignty last week. So Nebuchadnezzar's sovereignty, or his ability, his right or freedom to rule without anybody else interfering. See, God gave him that right. Now, you've got to understand, God's given us all that right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's given us all that right, same one.
Right.
And Nebuchadnezzar, he thought he did everything. But all of a sudden, he understood, or God was saying to him, you know, all the freedom you've been having to choose and everything. God said, okay, it's gone. When did it leave him? What was left? He started to turn insane. People don't choose to be insane. You walk down the path of insanity.
That's good.
So here we see, sovereignty has been removed from you. Then it goes into, but here's what I want you to see. Your freedom that you have today to choose God or to walk away from God is a gift given to you from God.
Yeah.
And I want to announce to you, and I'll have some emails on this one. It is possible you will not always have that freedom. It is possible God can pull from you his sovereignty to have the freedom to choose. This is when I've been in situations that I've seen that, but I've seen it restored by the intercession of others upon somebody that has been removed. Trust me, what you're looking at, it's been removed. The ability to choose has been removed. But through intercession and the pleading of God's people, God can reinstate it. It was removed here from Nebuchadnezzar. So let's look. Listen, we got to be sober believers in this day we're living. This is critical times. But this is real times. It presses us all. So here we see the humiliation of Nebuchadnezzar. And it says immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. Excuse me. And he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like the cattle. And his body was drenched with dew from heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails were like the bird's claws. Now here's the point. If your sovereignty, I have said, outside of the Holy Spirit of God, we're just animals. That's right. I'm really going out on a limb here. I believe some animals have souls. You can say, well, Alan, I know I didn't have to say that. But I wonder if some animals don't have souls. Didn't say they had spirits. I said, I think some of them have souls. Now, the soul of man, we act like animals when we do not have the sovereignty of God in our lives. Turn on TV today, you're like, well, how can people do that? How can they go? How can they destroy that? Or do, what? How do you do that? How do you do? Because you've been given over to act like an animal. That's why. That's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing. Now, I just told you the truth.
Yeah.
You're acting like an animal. That's what we revert to. We revert to acting like an animal when the sovereignty of God is pulled out of our lives.
Yes.
And I can say that by experience, sadly to say. Here we see that this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible says he started going insane. Now, he lost his mind. When he lost his mind, he lost his way. Now, I'm asking you something. You don't have to be locked up in an insane asylum to be acting insane. Matter of fact, to this day and time, they don't even put you there anymore. They just give you a bunch of drugs and say, go home. That's right. And so then we start into this other problems. Now, let's move on. Now, here's restoration, verses 34 through 37. Verse 34 returns, his speaking returns back into the first person, and it says this, "But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason," or sanity, "returned to me." I rest my case. When he looked back towards heaven, he said he started getting his reasoning back. Now, when you are not in a relationship with God, you will think you're the smartest you've ever been. That's the beatenest thing I ever sang. Go to somebody's rebelling in God. Well, how you doing? I've never felt this good. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Now, if you get a person that says, I've never felt this bad, they're getting towards the end of their journey. But I'm just saying, when they're at their height and their peak of rebelling against God, I've never felt this good. It's the best I've ever been. Never had so much money, never had so much of this, never. I've got this and I've got that and I've got, oh, Well, what happens is you're not going to be thinking right when you get in that state. You're running down a path of insanity. Insanity means, here's what it means, being out of a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Sin is insane.
Yeah.
We don't do it well. We fail. Anybody noticed? And the reason is of the insanity. So it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. What does the same person look like? Well, they're going to bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever. That's how you know if you're sane or not. So when I turn on TV, I know I'm looking at a bunch of, you talking about fake news, I'm talking fake people. I'm telling you the truth. I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world could you come up with that? Because you're acting like an animal. Now, I'm not calling people names here. I'm just saying this is what happens. You revert back just to an animal nature. So, let's move on. Now, this is the verse the Lord revealed to me, this statement. To not agree with God equals a level of insanity.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. So as you see people in our country and the world, if they're not agreeing with God, you got to understand something. There's a level of insanity there. Do you know how come I know that's true? Because God rules. That's my ultimate statement. God rules. So if it doesn't line up with God ruling, it's got to be a level of insanity in there somewhere. Now, let me give you one more here. To have true reason, we must believe that God rules and he will have his way.
Absolutely.
So if you believe that God rules and he's going to have his way, would it not stand to reason it's best to work with him than against him?
Amen.
And then he gives us this book, God Rules, he wrote the rules, and so therefore he rules. He gives us a book. He just says, listen, come on, let's go. Walk with me. Let's go in this direction. Listen, the worst thing that can happen to any of us as believers is to just live our whole life trying to not sin. That's just not where we want to be. You're not looking at somebody that doesn't sin. Don't get me wrong here. Please distinguish this. When I stand up here, I'm representing this, not this. Yes. Is anybody with me?
Amen.
When I get up every time, I say, okay, God, this is about you. It ain't about me. Please don't let nobody see that it's me. So I have to have this understanding before I can be bold. My boldness comes out of because I'm talking about this.
That's good.
That's where my boldness is.
Right.
Now, to have true reason, we must believe that God rules and he has his way. So prophetically speaking, I'm always looking for what God's doing behind the scenes because I know he rules. And if God rules, he's behind every scene doing something. Do you know how I do that? Because that's what I reason. My reasoning says God, if he's ruling, he's doing something behind the scenes on behalf of what's happening. That's what reasoning, true reasoning tells me. And the only way I can truly have that emotional feeling is because I have in my heart, that God rules. And that makes us bold. It makes us believe. It makes us not question. I'm not trying to negotiate God's rules. I'm not trying to make it politically correct. I'm not trying to make it fit your sexuality and preferences.
Come on.
God rules. And here's what the rules of what God rules says. And if I've got any sense at all, I think I'll agree with it. Here we go. So we see Nebuchadnezzar started getting a hold of this answer. The goal was to cut back the tree to a stump so it would grow and produce fruit. Now, that was his dream. Cut the tree, cut it back to the stump. Why the stump? Because he wanted it to come back out. It would be another growth. Whereas he wanted to cut off, that was no good. All about Nebuchadnezzar. I cut that tree down. Now, in John 15:8, it says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. Now, I want you to see something. You don't prove that you're a disciple of God because of your gifts. Mm-hmm. See, people will say, well, he's a prophet, he's prophetic, well, he's this, well, he's that. This is his gift. And we judge everything by the gifts. It's a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Now, what you have accomplished through your gifts does not qualify you, but your fruit does.
Come on.
Can you hear me? You see, everything that Nebuchadnezzar did didn't qualify him. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the fruits. So Daniel said, just go repent. Just go repent and feed the poor. What's the deal? Because that's the fruits of the Spirit. That's the fruits that you're following God. How do we know that you love him? It's by your fruit, not your gifts. But in the church house today, everybody wants to showboat their gift.
Right.
And the gift, you're not qualified by your gift.
That's right.
We'd rather have somebody with a basket full of fruit and not have a gift. That's the reason I always said, I don't think that speaking in tongues qualifies you that you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I think your fruit does. I can tell if you got the baptism of the Spirit by your fruit. Right? Boy, I shouldn't have said that. Can I erase I said that? Can we back up and let me erase that one? Ooh, I felt like somebody sucked the air out of the room. Okay. Consider the fruit does. I think that's what the rule book says. Now, let's just look at this in Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no such law. Leaders in this church, what are we looking for? We're not looking for your fancy gifts. We're looking for this. I'm not trying to poo-poo gifts.
Right.
Because gifts of the Spirit are real and true and tongues too. All of them. All of them are good. But we're looking for the fruits.
That's right.
You know why? Because the word rule book says you know a tree by its fruit.
That's exactly right.
I can't know by a gift, but I can know by the fruit. That's all. A tree is known by its fruits in Luke 6, 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of his evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is why I've seen people say, well, Alan, this guy's a great prophet, and then he failed. A gift's going to stick with you. But when you're, let's say you get a baptism of the Spirit, I believe that you either lose the baptism of the Spirit or it's null and void in your life. I don't know what difference it makes how you title it, but you lose the fruits of the Spirit. When I start losing the fruits of the Spirit through aggravation, through anything, I know I'm getting off base.
Yeah, that's good.
That's how I know.
That's good.
I'm getting off base. I had a situation this past week. And I responded in a way that wasn't the fruit of the Spirit. I knew quickly I was off base. So I apologized quickly. Why? And you say, well, Alan, did you talk? That wasn't nothing to talk. I was just out of the Spirit. And so what do? You repent. Because nothing there is equals the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't change my gifting. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You'll get more done for the kingdom of God with fruit than you will gift.
Come on.
That's just the truth. Well, all right, let me go on. I think I've said enough. Now, the king's deliverance. For his dominion is everlasting dominion. You see that? He's talking about God now. And his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand to say to him, what have you done?
Wow.
Can you see that's pretty straight, isn't it? His dominion is an everlasting dominion. So, we see an everlasting dominion. We see the king discovers God's everlasting dominion. Nebuchadnezzar's big revelation. God rules. I hope you're seeing this is a big deal. And I hope you're seeing, ultimately, all dominion is God's. I'm wanting to awaken in your spirit that this is a big deal, that this is a big issue. And I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit and you will take to task at where in your life are you doubting that God rules.
That's good.
That's what we're wanting to do here. Because when we see what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, he got a gift of faith. The reason he got a gift of faith is because he repented. And when, listen, I has to take over when I'm not trusting God to do it. Come on. Did you get it? All of this has to take over if I'm not trusting God to do it. I have to trust myself. And so Nebuchadnezzar got imparted to him that God rules and it's all his dominion. Now, what is dominion? Dominion is the sovereign control. It's when you exercise control over a kingdom. A kingdom is comprised of two words, king and a dumb. We're usually the dumb, no. A dumb means dominion, an area over which a king rules. That's what a king is. He's a king over a dominion. What does this text say about God? You'll have to come back next week to find out. I am just officially run out of time, and I must follow the rules. I hope that you'll receive what was from the Lord. I'm sure you can tell the difference if something's out of me. Just forget it, and let's go on. But if you feel like anything said of the Lord, it's my prayer that you'll receive it. You'll put it in your heart. We leave from here a changed people.
Amen.
More empowered. And if you'll believe what I taught you this morning, because it's a supernatural transaction, God will supernaturally give you more faith.
Yeah.
Some people in here has been asking God for more faith. Well, right there it is. The deal is we repent of us not trusting that God rules.
That's good.
Let's stand.
That's good.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this day and thank you for your word.
Yes.
And Lord God, truly, if anything that I've said is not of you, I pray it'll fall to the ground. But if anything that I said that's of your word and of your power and of your spirit, I pray that this church, these people, these watching online, that we will receive the truth that God rules
yes.
over all things.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we trust you. I find great peace in the fact that you rule, oh God,
yes.
and that nothing comes our way but God rules.
Yes.
So, Lord Jesus, we trust you this day. We ask and pray that you can trust us with the fruits of the Spirit and with the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, God.
Because we know you rule. Now, Lord Jesus, I pray that the angels of heaven can receive our declaration that God rules in this place.
Yes.
And that the activity from here to the heavens would be wide open. Would be wide open.
Yes, we agree.
And that many miracles can happen in this place today.
Yes.
The salvations, the baptisms.
Yes.
And I pray, oh God, for a holy anointing to be upon our pastor
yes.
in the next service.
Yes.
One that he's never experienced. And he'll be a peculiar preacher of the word of God. And all that agreed said,
yes.
amen and amen.